If you pick up a handful of dry sand and just let it rest in your open palm, you can actually hold a pretty massive pile of it.
Yeah, it just sits there, perfectly stable.
Exactly. But the second you panic that you might drop it, like the second you squeeze your fist shut to protect it, what happens?
Well, the pressure literally forces the grains right through your fingers.
Right. Until you're left with almost nothing. It's just gone.
I mean,
Yeah.
that's just basic physics, right? The tighter the grip, the faster you lose it.
It is, yeah. But when it comes to the psychology of wealth, we completely ignore that reality. So welcome to today's deep dive into day four of week 14, where we are unpacking law 14. Money is like sand. Holding it tightly will result in losing most of it. Holding it loosely is the way to abundance.
And today is really all about understanding the mechanics behind that open palm versus that that tight fist.
Right. Our mission today is to reinforce this week's mental rewiring by analyzing the sand method. This sets up a crucial psychological foundation because tomorrow, on day five, you're going to run an actual real-life scenario through this formula.
Which is going to be super interesting.
Oh, absolutely. But first, let's break down the acronym. We have S for see money as abundant, A for allocate with intent,
N for never suffocate flow, and D for deploy for return.
Exactly. And as a psychology professor, I see clients constantly who understand this logically, but their behavior just defaults to that tight grip. It's like this deeply ingrained protective mechanism. They really think hoarding means safety. Why do our brains fight this logic so hard?
Well, it's because when you operate from a scarcity mindset, you aren't just, you know, making a bad financial choice. You are experiencing a literal physiological event.
Wait, really? Like a physical reaction?
Oh, absolutely. The brain registers the idea of losing resources the exact same way it registers, say, a predator chasing you in the woods.
Oh.
Yeah. Your amygdala fires up, the alarm bells ring, and you go into this defensive freeze state. You hoard because your nervous system is literally screaming that you are in physical danger.
So when I need to make an investment, my rational brain, like my prefrontal cortex, just goes completely offline.
It gets entirely hijacked. But that's the brilliance of the S in the sand method. See money as abundant. By consciously practicing that visualization, you force the prefrontal cortex back into the driver's seat.
Right. It pulls you out of survival mode.
Exactly. So you can actually step back and deploy your resources strategically.
Which brings us perfectly to today's workbook exercise.
Yeah.
Because our amygdala fights this so incredibly hard, we have to actively force that executive functioning to take over. That's what the three reflection questions in today's workbook are really designed to do.
Yeah, they really force you to look in the mirror.
They do. In fact, I'm actually curious how your brain handles this framework. Let's put each other on the spot. Looking at the sand method, what is your strongest point and where do you struggle?
Oh, man. Okay, well, my strongest is definitely A, allocate with intent. Give my brain a structure, a spreadsheet, a defined budget, and it feels incredibly safe.
I mean, that makes total sense for a neuroscientist.
All right. But my weakest link, absolutely enter never suffocate flow.
Because letting the money actually leave the account sets off those predator alarm bells you were just talking about.
Exactly. Even for a really smart investment, just seeing the balance drop feels like a physical threat to me.
Wow.
So looking at the third question in the workbook, you know, contrasting those two points to figure out what I actually need to work on it tells me I have to stop relying on the false safety of a stagnant bank account.
So what does that look like in actual practice for you?
In practice, it means I need to actively set up automated reinvestments for my projects. I have to force the flow so my amygdala can't just veto the decision at the last minute out of fear.
That is such a good strategy.
Thanks. But what about you? I'm flipping it back. How do you score on the sand method?
Well, I'm almost the exact opposite, actually. My strongest point is see abundance. I can very easily conceptualize macro opportunities and, you know, visualize the big picture.
Okay, so where's the friction?
My weak point is deploy for return. I see the potential, but I struggle to actually pull the trigger. I just get paralyzed by the fear of making the wrong move.
Oh, interesting. So how do you bridge that gap? When you answer that third question, what is your actual practice?
It tells me that theorizing in my office means absolutely nothing without execution.
Mm.
So to overcome that freeze response, my practical step is starting with micro deployments.
Like tiny investments.
Yeah, exactly. I need to execute small, low-risk investments just to train my brain that deploying money doesn't automatically lead to ruin. It builds that psychological muscle of taking action.
That makes a lot of sense. And for you listening, as you do this exercise today, really lean into that friction. Where is your brain trying to hold the sand too tightly?
Yes, use this framework to locate your own psychological blocks. And to keep that momentum going, you have to rely on the neural training you've built this week.
Yeah.
Use your stack.
Right. The three code rewrites, the three distill points, and the two quotes.
Exactly. Reviewing that stack three times today isn't just busy work. It is the literal tool that keeps your rational brain in charge of your financial decisions.
And please don't forget to leverage your subconscious, too. Tonight, right before you fall asleep, seed your mind with the bedtime question.
Which is such a powerful one today.
It really is. Ask yourself, what opportunities are there in my life right now to build more wealth? And how can I harness those opportunities? Just let your brain work on that puzzle overnight.
Because tomorrow, for day five, we're putting all of this theory to the test. We're going to take these exact insights and apply them to a real-life scenario in your life to calculate your own hidden scarcity tax.
Oh, that is going to be incredibly eye-opening to see exactly what holding on too tightly is actually costing you.
It really is.
And as you go about your day and do the work, I'll just leave you with this final thought to mull over. Consider how your brain's desperate primal desire for safety and conservation might actually be the single biggest risk to your future abundance.